dressed in black, Stetson had a gold tooth, guitar across his back. Walked into the pawn shop and he stuck out his hand. He said, "Hey, Mr. Pawnbroker, what do you give me for this wedding?" A fair price I'll give you, not a penny less, but I'm curious about you, I must confess. What is your story? Tell it to me. What makes you think you deserve my sympathy?
Never loved you, didn't you say? On the rainiest day, and it's whoa, whoa. Hey! take me home. When the wind wraps me like the reaper's hand, I will swing free until they cut me down. Papa, don't tell me what I could have done. She's the one who begged me.
With my man. From the country with the one decent pair of clothes he owned on his back. He was headed into the city to buy some fabric for his wife. The trip in took about half a day, so he figured on spending the night. He planned to wake up real early, start home by dawn's light. John Martin walked down Clark Street looking for a cheap hotel. Young man came walking up to him. He was dirty and worn down. John asked the young man if he could recommend a nearby hotel. The young man told John his sister owned a place a little southeast of where they stood. John followed the young man east on Cermak. The hotel was over on Michigan Ave. After watching John pay the man at the desk, the young man followed him to the elevator door. He explained he had no place to sleep and wondered if he could use John's hotel room floor for the night. There was something a little unnerving about the boy, but he seemed to have an honest face. John Martin agreed out of pity, unaware that when he awoke, there'd be nothing left in his room except the young boy's ragged and dirty clothes. Fate seemed to be paper thin. The Lord's will seemed to be miles away. An honest face can hide the devil's horns. Just as simple as a blind man get led down the wrong road. John Martin waited naked in his hotel room all day, for the boy with the honest face to come back. Finally, Martin put the boy's ragged clothes on, went down to the lobby in an attempt to explain his plight. When he pulled on those blowed-out pants, they hung only a little below his knees. When the doors of the elevator parted, he was taken as an imposter, thrown headlong into the street. Newsboys shouted out insults. Women held tight to their husbands' arms. John Martin tore down the street. Word began to travel that a crazy man was on the loose. Now Detective Spencer started in pursuit, caught up to Martin on Polk Street. He took him to the Harrison Street station, where he was given a chance to explain his case. John Martin was dismissed of any crime, and some philanthropist provided a suit fit for him to wear. Off to the east of Michigan Avenue, Great Lake bulged in its dismal black and blue. A young man with an honest face sat behind a bar with a head full of booze. John Martin headed home to his farm, holding the fabric he bought for his wife tied under his arm.
Always find a millionaire to shovel all the And the water bird sings, dee dee dee. No, my cousins, you're not alone. You're in our talons now, and we're never letting go. You're in our headlights, frozen, and no one are stopping. You may not believe, but even we were scared at first. It takes a lot of nerve to destroy this wondrous earth. We're only human, this at least we've learned.
Though the rain and the sun come through, and springtime starts, then it stops in the name of something new, and all the senses rise against this coming back to you, and they're handing down my sentence now, and I know what I must do. Another mile of silence while I'm coming back to you. There are many in your life and many still to be. Since you are a shining light, there's many that you'll see. But I have to deal with envy when you choose the precious few who've left their pride on the other side of coming back to you.
The signs and the signals say, don't. you breathe. Don't you turn your face away. My blanket's gone, my ceiling stolen, stealing.
Dreamed of it in the